The title of my message this morning is Ruth, A Step Out in Faith Makes a Difference. So it's kind of hard not to get up here and want to do a sermon when you give when you're given a topic like stepping out on faith. So I'm here stepping out on faith. But before we begin, let us pray. Dear Lord, our God, we just give you thanks for this day. We thank you for your blessings in our lives, Lord. We thank you for everything that you've done for us. And we thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you for the raindrops. And we thank you for peaceful night sleeps and a blessed morning. And as we continue with the worship now, with the preaching of your word, we pray like the song we sang, open our hearts, Lord. Open our eyes that we see you, Lord. Because it's your word that we want to be to hear. And we want to be encouraged by you. So we give you thanks and we give you praise this day. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So the title of my sermon this morning is Ruth, A Step Out in Faith Makes a Difference. But have you ever had a day when everything was going your way and everything was right with you and the world? And for instance, an example, it's like you're driving down Cedar Avenue, because that's the street I travel a lot. You're driving down Cedar Avenue and you get every light. You get stuck in the wrong lane and the driver over there say, come on in, sister. And you can ease on into the traffic. You're looking on the side and you're trying to speed up and trying to crash that light, and you see that policeman hiding in the cut. And the music you have planned is just the music you want to hear. And you say, oh, wow, this has got to be a God thing. Thank you, Lord. And then, if you're a youth, and I was talking to some of the youth the other day, and we were talking, if you're a youth, when you have everything going for you in school, say, you've been trying to meet this very special person. You've done everything to catch their eye. Nothing happened. And then out of the clear blue sky, here comes this person over and asks you a question. And you say, this has got to be God. Everything is going okay. Yeah. And then at other times, you just can't get a break. Yeah. Like this morning, I got stopped at every light coming down the street. And then if you get stuck in the wrong lane, and you look at the driver, you kind of ease your eyes over there to see if the driver's going to wave you, and he gives you that look like, don't even try it. You're not getting in here. And then, when the special person asked them out for a date and wanted to go for a movie, that's the very same day that they've been grounded. And they can't understand why they can't go. All they did was some insignificant thing because their mother said they couldn't go, like not being getting suspended from school or cleaning up their room, or you got another engagement. But anyway, they had gotten grounded and they couldn't go. So things happen like that. One day you're having a good day, and the next day you're not. And when I was doing this, I was thinking about a song I like to listen to. And Keon is not here this morning because it's a hokey pokey song. And it's called These Are the Things That Drive Me Crazy. If anybody heard that song, it's a really funny story. But these are the songs. And his song goes like, I lost my keys in the great unknown. Somebody please help me, please. Somebody call me because I can't find my phone. And lights are flashing in the back because I'm doing a mere 35 in a 25-mile zone. Don't that policeman know I'm in a hurry? I got places to go. And it's times like these when your world is anything but right and nothing seems to go well. And life can be just like that on any given day. But sometimes, however, we have seasons of life like this. Times when we feel like God is truly blessing us, and then things change. And we might feel as if we are just barely hanging on, and we can't see the blessings, or and we can't see that, wow, this is a God thing, and nor can we hear his voice. And for many of us during these seasons of life, we might wonder, where is God? And doesn't he know all this pain and suffering I'm going through? And we ask the question, where are you, Lord? How many of you today have looked at your own life and wondered that same question? You know, I have problems. Where are you, God? The harder I try, the more difficult things seem to happen. How am I going to cope with all these problems? So today we are going to look at a passage of the Bible that comes from the book of Ruth. And the Ruth is one of the books of the Bible that is named for a woman. And the story of Ruth is really kind of fascinating because she is a woman who knows what it's like to have everything going for her in her favor, to seeing her world break up into tiny bunches and all the little pieces shattered. She is also an example of how God can take these little insignificant pieces and completely turn your world around. Ruth had grown up a Moabite, and even though the Moabites were not part of the children of Israel, she had caught the eye of an Israelite, and he married her. So she was sort of adopted into the family of God. She loved her husband, and contrary to all of the stories we hear, the horror stories we hear about mother-in-laws, she had a really wonderful relationship with her mother-in-law, and they loved each other dearly. Ruth had everything going for her, and life was really good for about 10 years. And most people, when they refer to the book of Ruth, they call it a love story, a story of deep friendships and loyalty. However, just like in our own life story, things are not what they seem, and things change. And it is in this story that God's word shows us there will be times when all we need is a small step of faith that will make a huge difference in our lives and in the lives of others. For a little background about Ruth, this story takes place in the time of Judges. And the period of Judges was the time after Joshua had led his people into the promised land. And God had given all the land that he had promised to his people. This was before the first king was set over the nation. And the nation was ruled by different people called judges. Since there was no king, everyone did what they thought was right in their own eyes. And you've heard it referred to, this was the land of the wild, wild west, because everybody did what they wanted to do. It was a time of immorality, idolatry, and a loss of faithfulness in following the God of the Bible. The book of Judges ends on a sad note because 11 of the 12 tribes had gone to war against the other tribe and practically exterminated their brothers and sisters. So the book of Ruth is written right after the book of Judges end. And it begins with a severe famine affecting the nation of Israel. And this famine was so hard, it was a natural disaster that produced economic loss and tragic deaths in families. It was the worst of time for God's people. It was such a terrible time that this story focuses on one family who moved from Bethlehem, known as the house of bread, to Moab, a foreign land, just to find food. So let me update you on the scripture that Sandra read this morning. Naomi and Elimelech, that was her husband, and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, moved from Bethlehem to Moab to escape the famine that was destroying the land. Elimelech died in Moab, and Mahlon, these names are hard, Mahlon and Chilion married two Moabite women by the name of Orpah and Ruth. And after 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion died. And Naomi then got word that God had sent food back to her home country, and she decided to go back. Naomi was grateful for what her daughter-in-laws had done for her all through the years, but she knew she wasn't about to have any more children, and she had little to offer them. So she asked them and she encouraged them to go back home to Moab, remarry, have children, and enjoy their lives. They didn't want to leave her, but she begged them to do so. Orpah, she decided she'd go back. She went back. Ruth, however, made a pledge that she would not leave Naomi, no matter what the situation was. So the two of them headed back to Naomi's home country, not knowing what was going to happen once they arrived. So we see from the scripture, this Israelite family the chosen people had moved from the promised land, which was called the House of Bread, to Moab, a foreign land. Now Moab just happened to be one of the nations that had been oppressing Israel during the times of the judges. And there was a long history of tension between Moab and Israel. So perhaps Elimelech and Naomi went to Moab thinking, well, this is only be for a short period of time. Just long enough to get myself back on my feet. And maybe they had even intentions of starting a whole new life there. It's hard to know if they were really taking a step out on faith for God to provide for them, or if they were thinking maybe they just better take the situation into their own hands and do something for themselves. Have you ever experienced a time such as this? I know I have. When you think God is not answering, you say, I got to do something for myself. And when times are looking rough, you say, and you're having your own personal famine. Because see, a famine could be a lack of love, a lack of jobs, a lack of employment, a lack of friends, just a feeling of depression. It's anything, a famine is anything that you have can make a huge difference in your life, and you want to do something to fill it. And you think to yourself, I'll just do this little thing, or I'll do that little thing, until things start looking up. But things don't change. And you're not only in the same situation, but things continuously get worse. So we read in our text, things did get worse for this family. The temporary getaway to Moab lasted more than a decade. 10 years had passed. Naomi and Elimelech didn't find any future there. They didn't see any of their dreams come true because she had to bury him there. The two sons married Ruth and Orpah, but one son died, and then quickly came the funeral for the second son. Naomi and Orpah have all become widows, and now things have gone from bad to worse. They are widows, they are poor, and they don't have anyone there to take care of them. Naomi is in a strange land, and although she's been there for over a decade, it never did feel like quite like home. Have you ever been someplace, you've been there and you've been hanging in, but it never did feel like you belonged there? So she made the decision to go back home. So there's someone here today whose plans have not worked out like they wanted them to work. And I know if you're willing, just like Naomi was willing to take a step back in faith towards home, there is a God who has a plan for you, and he can turn your life back around. There is a Savior named Jesus who loves us, and he can make our way a way for us as we make our way back home. And when Naomi made the decision to go back home, she knew she had nothing to offer her daughters. So she presented them with the option, go home to your homeland. Orpah finally took her up on that offer and headed back to Moab. But Ruth noticed something different in Naomi, something that she wanted for herself. And sometimes that's why people notice us. They see something different in us. They see something different that they want for themselves. She saw Naomi had a faith in a God that she wanted. Ruth was willing to take a step of faith, but she wanted to take a step of faith that was going to make a huge difference, not only in her life, but in the life of Naomi, but also to fill her own spirit. Her step of faith began with a commitment to her mother-in-law, but it was also a commitment to her mother-in-law's God. In verse 16, as we read, Naomi urged Ruth to go back home. And it's over screen, so if you would just read this with me. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you from me. And when Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped asking her to leave. So together, Ruth and Naomi began their step of faith, headed in the direction of Israel, in the direction of God's favor. Now, from an outsider, when they see Naomi and Ruth returning home, they would say all was lost as they saw them returning back to Moab, returning from Moab back to Bethlehem alone. An outsider would see two women at the end of their ropes, two women who had no hope, two women that society would see as cursed. And as they were returning back to home, can't you hear some of the saints saying, Naomi is back with without a husband. Here come Naomi back without a husband or a son. Isn't that horrible? She's back with a daughter-in-law, a Gentile, a foreigner, a Moabite. That's what outsiders would see. And that's what outsiders would say. But God saw two of his children making their way back home. God saw an opportunity right then to begin to unfold his plan of blessings for their lives. And so sometimes we have to take that step of faith toward God just to align ourselves up for the blessings that God has provided. When we take that step, we can't expect everything to happen overnight, but God say we can expect great things. So Ruth and Naomi arrived in Bethlehem feeling down and forgotten. The change in location didn't bring any hope. Even their friends and relatives ignored them. How depressing and how sad. They felt as if they had no future. Even the people who should have stepped up pretended they didn't exist. They didn't know, however, that in God's eye, they were his heart's treasure. And he had a plan and a purpose for him. But the same plan and the purpose that he has for all of us, because he has a promise in the book of Jeremiah that says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a hope, to prosper you, and to give you a future. They are unaware of this fact, that so many people are. When you hear that plan and people are so discouraged, they don't know that God has the plan for them, the plan for hope. But they're unaware that God is getting them ready for a great kingdom mission. Ruth is unaware of this kingdom mission, and it is noted that she made one of the most powerful statements in all of the scripture when she said, your people will be my people, your God will be my God. Ruth declared that she would follow God no matter what. She would follow God even if things didn't ever get better. She would follow God even if it led to death. Ruth had demonstrated that great faith that God honors. Now, even though Ruth had lost everything, she knew she had to continue. She had to do something to get food for her mother-in-law. Now, isn't it amazing when everything seemed lost and we're so discouraged and brokenhearted and feeling defeated and we can't see the hand of God? He is still faithful to his promise. Because it is now that Ruth just happened to go into the field of Boaz to pick up some scraps that the field workers had left behind. You see, further over in chapter 2 and verse 3, Ruth finds herself in the field of Boaz, the distant relative of Naomi. Now, when Helen and I, buddy Helen back there, we start talking about Ruth, we say, you found your Boaz yet? Hey, when we gonna find a Boaz? We haven't found no Boaz. And I don't think we gonna get one, because we're not willing to go out in no field. But when Boaz enters the story, this is also when many of us think this is a wonderful love story. But in reality, this is where we truly see the hand of God has been with Ruth and Naomi all the time. At first, it doesn't seem like it's much of anything that Ruth finds herself in the field of Boaz. However, it is absolutely incredible that she just happened to find herself in the field of Boaz on the day that Boaz visited that particular field. Boaz, you see, is a very rich man who is a part of Naomi's family line. And Boaz is in line to make a difference in Ruth and Naomi's life. And for Ruth just to happen upon the field of Boaz is really quite amazing. It's almost an impossibility. What's the odd? Talk about being at the exact right place at the exact right time. Now, Ruth is unaware of this great coincidence. See, often when we decide to take a small step of faith, we're aligning ourselves up with the power of God. But we don't realize what we're doing. We're just taking the step. All he asked us to do is just take the step. But we're aligning ourselves up with the power of God's great power. To Ruth, she's just trying to get by. She's just trying to get enough food for her and Naomi for one meal. She is hungry and she's tired. And if God is planning anything great, she is completely unaware of it. At this time, maybe Ruth and Naomi is just thankful they are just surviving. But God seems to have more in store for us than just surviving. Boaz is so impressed by Ruth's loyalty to her mother-in-law, and he's also impressed that even though she's a beautiful young lady, she does not go chasing after the young men. Instead, she wants to follow the customs of and the laws of the people of God. Boaz recognized that Ruth is a gem for anyone to have as a wife. And when she discovered she is willing to marry him, he does all within his power to make it happen. They are married, they have a son. Ruth and Naomi will not have another financial need for the rest of their lives. But Ruth's story doesn't end here. See, not only does God want to fill their stomach with food and new housing, God has a plan that extends to all of us right here today. Because Ruth took a small step in faith, just one small step of faith. Because when Sandra read our New Testament scripture, which is in the Gospel of Matthew, let's read this one together. The Gospel of Matthew records the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And there we see God's great plan for Ruth. And so we read, Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David, the direct line of Jesus Christ. Ruth is the great-great-grandmother of David, the greatest king Israel ever had, who is in the direct bloodline for Jesus Christ. Ruth is an ancestor of Jesus Christ. Now, what if God had answered Ruth's expectations? Just go out and find a place to work today. What if Ruth had just gone into any field to pick up a handful of grain, just what she needed? And what if God had given Boaz a heart to just hire Ruth as an employee, not to see any romantic inkling between them? What if Ruth had accepted so little and returned back home with Oprah and missed the great plan that God had for her and Naomi? What if, during all these trials and disappointments, Naomi had become so bitter, so depressed, and just gave up on life? There are so many what ifs. And there's a song called Blessing I'd love to listen to that talks about the what ifs in our lives. And it says, we pray for blessings. We pray for peace. We pray for comfort for our families. We pray for protection while we sleep. We pray for healings. We pray for prosperity. We pray your mighty hand to ease our suffering. All the while you hear each spoken need, yet love us way too much to give us lesser things. Because what if our blessings come through raindrops? And what if your healings come through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to draw you close to him? What if the trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? And what if the trials of this life are truly your blessings? See, God has promised to be with his children always, during the good times and the bad times. He has promised never to leave us. However, in this story, it appeared that God had forgotten his family. Even the people who should have stepped up to help these women pretended they did not even exist. And for many of us during these times, these hard times, we find it hard to trust God. And I have seen some people decide they want to walk away from the church because they don't see God. They're going to walk away from God because they can't feel His presence. And they find that life is just too hard, because life is hard. Life is difficult. They can't feel God's presence or His love. Today, some of us may be in that same situation, and you're in a desperate situation. You need employment. We all, you know, you hear that there's so many people need employment. You need food. You need a physical healing. You need a spiritual healing, not only for yourself, but you're praying for a spiritual healing for your family. And you might be burdened as a caregiver, and you're feeling overwhelmed, and you can't feel God's near, God's presence near. You feel alone, and you feel abandoned, and you feel forgotten, and you just can't cope with unanswered prayers. So you too ask the question, where is God in all this? And you know you got the right solution. You're not God, but you know what to do. You say, God, all you got to do is do this. All you got to do is bring this. And God is silent. And you're working hard, and you're still working hard, and you're struggling. And you can't get ahead. You're looking here, and you're looking there, and you can't find a job, and you're asking God. And God is silent. God reminds us in this book of Ruth that even in the dark days, like a time in the days of Judges, when everybody was doing anything that they wanted to do, even when His people is disobedient, even in the dark night of our souls, even for poor widows, He is always near. And although these times are filled with doubts, fears, and anxieties, this just might be the place where God is preparing us for our part in His kingdom mission. His words say, still be strong, be courageous, and keep the faith, because He is faithful to His promise that He is always near during the good times and the bad times. Yes, this is a story of love, loyal friendship, and commitment, that God reveals His answer to our where is God, where are you, God? Because we can see that God's watchful eye has never strayed from His people. He don't leave us in the mystery of hard times. And these hard times of doubt, fear, and even a hostile, desperate world is just all we need to take is just one small step of faith. And that one small step of faith can make a difference in our lives. It is through faith that we align ourselves up with the power of our great God, our great provider, our Jehovah Jireh. He is our great provider. It is only God who can make a difference in our lives. Since this beautiful story of Ruth and her step of faith reminds us that our question should not be, where is God, or what is God waiting for, but what has God has planned for my life? Amen. Amen. Oh Lord. Oh Lord, our God, we just give You thanks and we praise for Your encouraging words. We thank You that we know that even in our hills and our valleys that You are surrounding us and You are with us all the way. We thank You for Your word that tells us to be strong, be courageous, and keep the faith. So we just give You thanks and praise for this morning, Lord, and ask that You would just continue to encourage our hearts and to give us wisdom so that we too could be that courageous person that take that one small step of faith, and that we could be the people of God that You call us to be. And it is in Jesus' name, our great Savior, that we pray. Amen.